Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1006. It's the 1st of March, 2018. Happy St. David's Day. On the podcast today, Michael Masterman, chairman of W Resources, at WRES, and Michael talks about the major offtake agreement for the La Perla tungsten mine in Spain and clearing their last hurdle for development at their Regua tungsten mine in Portugal. Also on the podcast, Dennis Thomas, CEO of Phoenix Global Mining, that's PGM, and Dennis discusses their acquisition of the Gordon Lake gold property in Canada and the appointment of a new non-executive director. Plus, it's a Thursday, so Chris Bailey, founder of financialorbit.com, covers WPP Group. Big fall today for FTSE 100 companies. I think it's at 2 points something billion wiped off their share price or their valuation because down 30-odd percent. FTSE 100 company, of course. Also, Carpetright, another big faller, CPR. Dixon Carphone, he mentions. Laird, it's LRD, and Cobham. Plus, I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Michael Masterman, chairman of W Resources, WRES. Michael, thanks for joining me.
Great to be on, Justin. We've got a lot of things happening at W Resources at the moment.
Yes, two significant bits of news since we last spoke, and we didn't speak that long ago. So let's go back there. Let's start with the major offtake agreements, please, Michael. In fact, before we get into that, I always like to do this. For people not aware of W Resources, Michael, can you give a quick summary as to what the business is all about, please?
Okay. W Resources, WRES, we're focused on tungsten in Spain, Portugal, and we've also got some great copper and gold assets in Spain, Portugal as well. We just completed the financing of our flagship mine, La Perla, with $35 million from BlackRock, and we're making great progress on our other tungsten mine development, Regua, in northern Portugal.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's talk about the major. We signed two major long-term offtake agreements. Take us through the detail here, please, Michael.
Okay. Well, look, when you gear up for a significant project financing like we just closed, it is very important that we have in place good, strong, long-term offtake from our customers, and we've got we've locked in offtake contracts for 80% of our production with WBH out of Austria. They're the number one in Europe. They supply the top AAA companies such as Rolls-Royce and Boeing and Airbus with all the various high-tech tungsten materials that those top-tier companies need. They need regular steady supply, and it's great to have them as our customers.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's good news number one there. And so what about the land purchase? And you say clears the last hurdle for development at Regua. Take us through that as well, Michael.
Okay, so Rígua we haven't talked about so much, but Rígua is sitting there, northern Portugal, very nice high-grade tungsten deposit. We have worked very closely with the local mayor, the local region, and all the ministry authorities, and we've just purchased the land, the surface land that covers the mine, and together the approvals plus ownership of the land allows us to move decisively forward with the regular tungsten development. And so, yeah, La Pril is the flagship. That's where all the focus is. But Regula is sitting there, approved and ready to go, and we're looking forward to putting it into production steadily. Priorities on La Perla, but Regula will be the quiet achiever, following quickly behind.
Yeah, when you say quickly behind, what are the sort of timescales here on that one, Michael?
Okay, so approvals are in place. What we'll do in the next quarter is we'll just do some grade control preparatory drilling. So we've kind of got all the detailed mine plans set. The nice thing about Rígua is the deposit's there. We can mine it with horizontal adits, which think of a borer going driving straight through the ore in a near horizontal fashion, pulling out the materials, the ore that can then be trucked to a nearby crusher. The ore is crushed, and we'll build a small concentrator near the crusher, which will be able to allow us to go straight through to produce tungsten concentrate.
Yeah.
So in terms of what's going to happen, we'll do some drilling in the next quarter, and when we open up those adits, we'll start initial mining of the ore back into this year.
Excellent stuff. And I suppose it's worth now, because your flagship there, La Perla, is well advanced here. It's very worth saying. I mean, you are just a sub 30 million market cap. Give us the financials around the production there at La Perla, if you could, Michael.
Okay, so La Perla is financed. Stage one is 2 million tonnes of ROM. That should kick out around about $20 million annually of EBITDA, earnings before interest, tax and depreciation. We expand from 2 million tonnes to 3.5 million tonnes per annum of run-of-mine ore. Our profitability lifts from that 20 million per annum towards the 35, 40 million per annum. This is all disclosed in our final investment decision report, conservative prices, and we're moving towards our really substantial earnings.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when you consider at the moment, like you said, you are sub 30 million market cap, and that EBITDA from the three ROM will exceed that, or be equal to that. So it's quite impressive. All right, Michael, well, listen, if anyone's listening right now and are not following the story, but they like what you're saying, and they need three reasons to convince them, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
So, number one, our flagship mine, La Perla, has been financed by BlackRock, and we've provided all the funding we need to put that into production. Number two, we are driving forward on the development of La Perla. We have a 12-month build. There'll be a lot of news flow associated with that. And then there are significant production and earnings come beginning of 2019. And thirdly, in addition to La Perla, we have Rígua, which is now cleared in terms of all the approvals and land access to be able to proceed to development. And we've got some great copper and gold assets that'll also add some additional shine to two really great tungsten projects.
Excellent stuff, Michael. Very busy there, and no doubt we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it. Great to talk. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dennis Thomas, CEO of Phoenix Global Mining. That's PGM ticker. Dennis, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure, Justin. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, and you've got some very interesting news out on the acquisition trail, I see, but we'll get to that in a bit. Before we do, people not aware of Phoenix Global Mining, Dennis, summarise what the business is all about, please.
Well, Phoenix Global Mining, Justin, is a North American-focused base and precious metal explorer and developer. We're presently fast-tracking the historically producing Empire Mine in Idaho, USA, and we're fast-tracking that back into production. And we're also exploring for cobalt, 100 miles north of Mackay in Idaho, in the Idaho Cobalt Belt. And as you just alluded to, we've taken on the Gordon Lake gold prospect in the Northwest Territories of Canada.
Yeah, well, I didn't see this one coming because it's quite a surprise. So take us through this and take us through the background. Why are you acquiring this then, Gordon? Dennis.
No, Gordon Lake, yes. Yeah, no problem. Well, Gordon Lake has been on our radar for some time. As I said, we're presently working on the Empire Mine, which I might add, operations progress extremely well, and we're in the final stages of our preliminary economic assessment there. But when in the build-up to, if you like, the development of the company, we had Gordon Lake very much on our radar. The commodities we wanted to stay in base and precious metals, particularly, and the one thread that comes through what we're doing at the moment is gold, which is in the Empire deposit and also is associated with the cobalt up in the Cobalt Belt. Mm-hmm. Back in the early stages of the development of Phoenix, we have a close relationship, and I particularly had a close relationship with ExGen in its former existence, and Gordon Lake was one of the properties of that company. And when we first started to look at projects for Phoenix, then Gordon Lake was pretty high on the shopping list because of its the possibilities of building up a resource there very rapidly, and the very favourable geology, I might add, and location, and so. But then Empire became available, and quite frankly, Empire was the flagship project of what became ExGen as it now is. And it eclipsed Gordon Lake in the fact that it was a brownfield site. We could bring it into production fairly rapidly. It had known resources. And so, if you like, Gordon Lake has been on the back burner for some time. The way things have developed now in the Canadian markets, gold is a pretty hot property. Mm-hmm. In terms of commodities. We really didn't want to lose the opportunity to develop Gordon Lake, so we signed an agreement with ExGen, which is relatively low cost, very low cost, but gives us the opportunity to go in and explore it. So it's we didn't want to lose it, and there were I believe probably lots of others that were interested in Gordon Lake. So we've, if you like, put our foot on it now that we can actually do something with it.
Okay, and there's also the appointment of Jason Riley to the board of Phoenix as a non-executive director.
Yes, Jason. Jason has been, if you like, with us along the ride with the Empire Mine. It was he who originally found it back a few years ago, and he was a director. He's on the board of Connex Resources, who are our 20% shareholders that we have 80% in Connex to operate the Empire Mine. Jason is president of ExGen Resources, and there's obviously been a close relationship that we've had with him. And quite frankly, the acquisition of the Gordon Lake mine, it makes it logical that he should come on our Phoenix board.
Yeah. So your option just cost you $25,000, the chance, and the option to acquire 80% of
yes.
Gordon Lake there. So what are you going to go in and do, and how long do you have to take up the option, or what conditions have to be met then, Dennis?
Well, basically, we've got to commit to a $250,000 exploration program over the next year. There are annual payments, $25,000 payments to ExGen, which I think after the third year go up to $50,000. But Basically, it is the only commitment at this stage that we have is this initial exploration program. Mm-hmm. But I think that will gain its own momentum as we look at the ore body. It's a pretty attractive, very attractive setting, in fact.
Yeah, well, take us through so what you know about some of the grades here and what's been drilled already.
Well, it's very similar to there's three mines in the area which are all very high grade and have been pretty prolific producers. The Con mine, for example, basically produced 5.3 million ounces at round about half an ounce a ton. The Giant mine produced over 7 million ounces, and that was just under half an ounce a ton. And the Discovery mine, which was a million ounce producer, that was over an ounce a ton. So if you like, geologically the setting is very, very similar, and there are 17 identified en echelon gold mineralized zones in the property. And the property, by the way, are mining leases, so they're not exploration claims, they're full mining leases. So we've got 17 zones that have been identified, and only four of these have in fact been tested. And at this stage, there's a drill indicated resource of about just under 50,000 ounces with these 59 holes. And interestingly, the mineralization that's been tested in the four zones at the moment is open at depth and has only gone, I think the deepest hole is something like 246 meters. But some of the grades are quite spectacular in the holes, and all of the holes have hit structures. And in other words, there's a continuous vein type structure as you go down these zones. And I mean, some of the intersections are, you know, 80, 30, 40, 50 grams per ton, which are quite spectacular. And given mining techniques as they are nowadays, this is all fairly near to the surface, but one would probably look to approach the development of this as an underground mine. And using various techniques that we have, this has the potential of Gordon Lake has the potential of developing into a very nice little producer. Probably we would aim 20 to 25,000 ounces per annum, that sort of size. So it's small, mm-hmm. small and beautiful, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent stuff. And so that's that. And a quick update on Empire Manor. How's that going there?
Empire's going very well, Justin. Empire remains our flagship. The concentration of what we're doing at the moment is pretty obviously on Empire. It's a super little project. We're completing our preliminary economic assessment at the moment, and we're in the final stages. So we're within the next few weeks, we will be producing a study which we're just waiting for the completion of our metallurgical test work. But we'll have preliminary designs ready to embark on the bankable feasibility study. So we'll immediately go towards that for the oxide deposit. We're still working on accessing the underground tunnels. We're in, it's slow, and we have safety considerations. The Mines Safety and Health Administration working with them obviously to access the tunnels, but that is going well. And yeah, we're very pleased with the way Empire's going at the moment. It's as I said, in the next few weeks we'll be able to start to look at really ramping up to do the bankable feasibility study work, and that I'm really looking forward to that. I think that will show that we've got a very good oxide deposit, and then we'll start probing into the sulfides underneath.
Marvelous stuff. Well, Dennis, if someone's listening to this and you're covering sort of three essential metals now, sort of cobalt, gold, and copper, and they're listening to this and like the sound of it, but are not following the story. Give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Yes, indeed, Justin. And I'd add to that tungsten as well with the depth with the Empire mine. That's basically my 3 points, and probably, dare I say, it'd be my usual mantra, that we're a base metals explorer and miner focusing what we consider to be the high value metals. And these copper, cobalt, gold, and the very high potential for tungsten at the Empire Mine at depth as well. So that's the first point. The second point, I come back to jurisdiction. We're in a safe and secure jurisdiction in Idaho and now the Northwest Territories. And quite frankly, we couldn't be in better places for in all respects to be developing projects. And finally, timing. I think with the markets the way they are at the moment, and specifically copper and cobalt are really, I think, will be in demand very soon. And the cobalt market certainly is, the way things are going, is there's going to be I consider a very serious shortage of cobalt in the not too distant future. But gold underpins everything and has done over the years, and and gold also is the common factor, if you like, with all our operations that we have. On that basis, yes, commodity, location, timing.
Excellent stuff, Dennis. Good to chat to you. And like I said, now you've got another project in the go. I'm sure it won't be long before you chat again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
We'll look forward to it, Justin. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is founder of FinancialOrbit.com. It's Chris Bailey. You all right, Chris?
Hello. Yeah, very well, Justin. Good news is I'm not snowed in. Bad news is it started to snow. So there you go. Hardly the snow apocalypse, though. My goodness.
No, I know. Our school, the kids can't go to school today because it's closed. But literally, I was going to tweet out a picture. It's a smattering. It's not even there. It's not covered the ground almost. But I suppose they're worried about the Beast from the East meeting with Storm Emma. I did tweet out a picture, actually, with Emma Watson and the Beast from the film, you know, Beauty and the Beast. But but you know what? I think this is quite relevant, really. When you talk about, here we are online, right? There's no problem with us connecting online. You know, we can do our business, whatever the weather, pretty much. And yet, it's going to have a knock-on effect, isn't it, to shops and everything like that. So everything bricks and mortar today are going to have a hit. And I suppose, you know, that's the flexibility that online has. And there's been a lot of grim news of late, hasn't there, about retail. Yeah. And I can't see it getting any better either, you know?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think there might be a little bit of trouble with sort of the final mile distribution for some of the online parcels and stuff. But clearly, you're absolutely right. And it's funny, isn't it? If you have things like pandemics or terrible weather, online just sort of rumbles on. And, you know, it's not only convenient for us, it's sort of in these sort of more trying times, it actually is the preferred place to do business or to have business. And it's kind of interesting, isn't it? You know, we obviously have seen in the last 24 hours or so, various retail names, restaurants, you know, electrical retailers, Toys R Us, etc., all kind of shutting up shop or closing stores, etc. And I'm afraid that trend, that structural trend, continues. And actually, you can see it in the numbers today as well. I mean, Carpetright, you know, well-known name, you know, the name gives away what they get up to, really, in sort of floor coverings and carpets and related, you know, yet another profit whoopsie. And, you know, it was only at the turn of the year they had a trading update which basically said, look, guys, it's been not a very good sort of Christmas trading period for us, and we're going to have to pull numbers back. They pulled them back further again today, and the shares, unsurprisingly, have fallen, particularly as, you know, the old line about having to talk to their banks just to make sure that facilities and related are there for them if they need to tap them. You know, that's undoubtedly hit the shares as well. But clearly with retail, you have to be very careful. And I think the key is for me is to find something where a company is a market leader, but B, to find something where they've got a balance sheet which is strong, and C, a product which actually people will still potentially buy some of. And it's been kind of interesting, some of the names which have done better over recent months, names such as Next or Kingfisher, I think sort of fit that bill. But I'm afraid Carpetright, it's a competitive area, number one, and number two, yeah, that the people are looking at the company and saying, well, my goodness, you know, if they're having to talk to their banks, makes you wonder whether they'll need to raise some money or something like that. And unsurprisingly, that's not good for the share price.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think at the moment, you know, wherever you are on retail, there's a lot more competition these days than when they used to be, you know, when online wasn't so, so omnipresent, you know. I mean, people can just Google for a carpet and look at the price and go by price alone. And in Maplin's, I remember looking for some kind of cable about a year or so back, and I wanted to get it quickly, and I thought I can either go to the local Maplin's, and this cable's like 20-odd quid there. Online, literally, it was like about £3. And I thought, that's the competition fact. And I heard someone talking on radio today, Radio 5, I think it was, saying, I don't think people appreciate that, you know, the experts in store and all that. And I thought, I don't care. It's a bit of cable. I can get it for a tenth of the price almost, you know. So I'm not going to go down to Maplin's in a car, you know, use diesel and get a cable that's 10 times the price. It's, you know, they're going to suffer. That's competition, isn't it, you know?
No, that's absolutely right. And, you know, previously other companies such as Jessop's, who always had those experts in store, you know, to help you buy a camera or related, you know, that was always their big selling point. Obviously, they suffered a big corporate hit because of that exact trend. But it is interesting how, you know, you look at something like a Dixon's car phone and how those shares have been volatile, very volatile over the last year. But actually for savvy stock pickers, you've made some good profits on them in the last few months, mainly because they have obviously a pretty comprehensive online offering. But for those diehards who want to go to a store, as some of the sort of second and third tier players disappear and don't have things like the distribution and whatever that a bigger name has, you know, ultimately what you'll see is those names taking more and more market share, be it online or be it walk-in retail. So, I mean, as always, there are angles here. The stock market's a wonderful machine, but unsurprisingly, it's, if you look at all the retail names, they're at valuations generally which are much lower than they would have been a few years back, let alone, you know, back 15 years in the retail heyday. So, you know, pick your spots. There are some opportunities, but you need to buy something with a good balance sheet that's not going to have to speak to its banks like Carpet Right is doing this morning, or raise money, or close a bunch of stores and take a massive restructuring profit, which is a bit more inherently better balanced. And as I say, there's been a few names. I think there's when I look around, there's fewer of them at the moment. I mean, thinking about it today, you know, for me, stocks like a Dunelm, which actually took a big hit last week, feels the sort of company where actually there may be an opportunity, where actually there's more opportunity than threat in the current share price. But other stuff, I think it's leave it to the experts.
Okay. What else are you looking at, Chris?
So WPP and advertising, you know, one of the world's biggest advertising companies, massive double-digit hit today. I think it's down about 12 or 13% when I last looked. Shares down to levels not really seen for a few years. I think it's near a five-year share price low. Yeah. What are they saying? Well, they've admitted 2017 was a disappointing year. But, you know, that was largely known. I don't think that in itself would have been particularly surprising. They've obviously been updated the market as last year went on. I think it's more about 2018. And what was amazing is the WPP numbers, it shows you the value, I think, of looking at some of the regulatory news disclosures. You know, I must admit, there's a wide range of sort of clarity levels in these disclosures. And you'd have thought an advertising company would have been pretty good at getting its message across. But actually, I looked at the numbers today and I thought, Where is the killer two or three lines that tells me what they really think about next year? And they sort of hid it in broader comments and other stuff. And actually, when I found it, or found stuff that pertained to it, it was decidedly wishy-washy. Sort of budgets are sort of flat. It felt like kind of very flat guidance. And, you know, frankly, that's below market expectations. So shares have taken a big hit today. And, you know, it raises the issue of whether they're exhibiting value now. And I think advertising companies are very linked to global growth. You know, that's the best linkage they have. So if you're a bull of global growth, then probably this is a great opportunity. But I have to say, I wasn't inspired by the tone of the comment. And when an advertising company themselves can't get over their message in a coherent fashion, then you do have to wonder. So I'm going to listen to their conference call and relate it later on and try and figure out all the angles. But at this moment in time, I'm not rushing to bottom fish in WPP.
No, because the chart looked like it was bottoming out at around about that £13 level. And all of a sudden, it's gapped down below that, which is not a good sign.
No.
Let's scroll back here, see where the next... I suppose there is some support around £12, yeah, round figures. So, I wouldn't be jumping in here, definitely. Let it settle. It hasn't settled yet. That's a big drop for a big player, 13%. It's a big drop. Anything else you're looking at, Chris?
Yeah, so a couple of other quick ones. We talked about money raisings already, and a couple of companies that had money raisings a while back, sort of in the last year, 18 months, two names, one called Laird in the... sort of clever electrical products, sort of antennas for cars and other gubbins for companies such as Apple and Samsung. They've got an interesting client base. They had a money raising a while back. They had a massive profit warning. The shares went from 300 and something pence to pushing up towards a pound. So you know, an absolute shocker. They had a money raising because they'd overextended themselves and had got into a bit of a stretched balance sheet. They've announced today that private equity company is going to take them over. And, you know, as I sort of said a few minutes ago, all right companies that actually ultimately raise money because they've been victims of circumstance or they've run the business a bit too hard, but inherently they've got a good product underneath. And as I say, if you look at Laird's top customers, they're Apple, Samsung and BMW, which is three pretty good names. Kind of interesting that the shares have been taken over at a 70-odd% premium today. What's interesting though is when you look at the chart, is just the role of timing. As I said, the shares were 300-odd pence before the whoopsie, fell to 100 and been taken out at 200, which just goes to show you that timing is everything in investments, even for inherently all right companies with good client bases and what seems to be interesting products. So, a few Laird shareholders, I'm not one of them, will be happy this morning. And you're seeing the same in Cobham, actually. Cobham's in the aerospace, military aerospace and related areas. And they've had a shocker over the last few years. Again, you know, slowing defence spending, or decision-making on defence spending, balance sheet getting a little bit out of kilter. They ultimately had a money raising and a rights issue to improve the strength of their balance sheet. It's interesting that they've had a sharp bounce today. All they've said is that kind of things are going to plan, you know, no great shakes in terms of guidance, but just going to plan for a company which had a money raising and, was going through some difficult times, can equate to sort of a double-digit share price increase. So there is some hope for something like a Carpet Right, but what I want to see is just how serious is their balance sheet deterioration. And until you see that, you just hold off. You know, until you've got some hard numbers on that, you just hold off and let it come to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent stuff. Cool. Is that it, Chris?
That's it. Absolutely.
Marvel stuff, and let's hope we all, you know, both survive the Beast from the East and Storm Emma, and we'll be here next week, hopefully.
That's right. I hope so. Yeah, I think we'll be okay. But
yeah, I think so.
I see the National Grid are talking about a sort of tight gas supplies or something. So there you go. That you'd have thought traditionally that's good news for some of the utilities if the government ever allows them to make money. But there you go. So hopefully National Grid's been successful in forcing a few of the big industrial users just to tone down some of their consumption in order to keep the lights on. But fingers crossed on that.
Excellent, Chris. Speak next week, fella.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Hemogenix Pharmaceuticals, H-E-M-O, have been a highly followed company since that RNS release, that breakthrough, that application for the patent. At four, Ectech, EQT, announced convertible loan notes yesterday. At three, Asia Met Resources, ARS. Of course, Tony was on the podcast, and they've announced drilling at Butong today. At two, Rehoboth Resources, RBD, raising a big chunk of change there. To do some development. Looks quite promising. It's one of those raisings, it's quite positive, you know. And at number one, it's New Oil and Gas, NUOG, most followed company, also did a placing today. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. Rehobo Resources, RBD, increased investment in Corallian Energy. At two, Motivio, grant of share options to senior management. At three, Zenanga, iron ore, that's project update. At two, Rehobo Resources, resulting in placing. And number one, most liked RNS was from Asia Met Resources, commences drilling Bouton copper gold deposit. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz, discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.